and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. To get involved, send email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Follow TA_weekly on Twitter or call 260-2-ASK-TAW. And welcome to Tech Access Weekly. This is episode 122 for January 11th, 2012. I am Aaron.
I am Rodney.
And it's 1995.
Really? I thought you said it was 2012.
Well,
it's... Or did you say 2011 again?
I said 2012.
Okay.
It's the 11th on the 12th.
And we should say Happy New Year because it's been a freaking year since we did this.
Exactly. Yes, it was last year when we did episode 121, which David Partrick really enjoyed, by the way.
Yes, if you haven't listened to episode 121 that was released on Christmas Day, you probably should go do that because it was us doing sort of the Mystery Science Theater type thing.
Exactly. With a Christmas story.
Yeah, and we also released on Christmas Eve, episode 120, mm-hmm. which showed that we have no lives.
Yeah, exactly. We did visit for Christmas, but we went on Christmas Day, so we had the opportunity to do some podcasting stuff on Christmas Eve.
Yes, Michael Loft does not do Sarah Talk anymore, so now you have to pick up the stuff.
I know, I have to do stuff now.
Okay.
And yes, we did a togetherness show on Mushroom FM on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
We took over the airwaves from 11 to 12:30 Eastern time.
Yes, played the wonderful ball dropping and everything. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting. There was quite a flurry of Twitter activity, right?
Yes.
Leading up to
I know a better way to streamline that if we do it next time.
Oh, you do that.
But it's going to be up to you to help me.
Oh.
You get to read the tweets.
Oh.
Exactly.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, you'd have to give me access to your account.
No, they just tweet yours.
Oh, I don't want that. They know yours. They don't know me.
Anyway.
I'm just the lowly grunt back here in the background doing the searches for requests.
No one asks you to.
That's true.
I never asked you to.
I know.
You decided to help.
I know.
So don't complain.
I know. It was my mistake.
And we got an email from someone named Mike who says that he enjoys the podcast and especially liked the tip about the Audio 655 Plantronics USB headset. He is thinking about doing internet broadcasting, which is fabulous. I don't know that I recommend that headset for internet broadcasting. As I told him in my email, the microphone sounds a bit tinny. I don't use it for broadcasting myself. It's a bit heavy to wear. I find it somewhat uncomfortable.
I think you've used it for an emergency here and there.
But not for regular broadcasting.
Yeah.
It's just heavy. But if I don't know that it has a mute button on it, which is his question.
Yeah, I don't believe it does.
It doesn't.
I mean, if you're really going to do broadcasting or anything, you probably should at least get a USB microphone to use and a decent pair of headphones.
Right,
exactly. That would probably be the best way. I believe I saw the Blue Yeti microphone for like $90
mm-hmm.
just a couple weeks ago.
And I'll point out that most broadcasting software has a mute function. So if you want to mute your microphone while music is playing, you can do that with the software if you're only using one sound card. It's perfectly possible to do
that. We're sitting here with a mixer, so we have a button.
Right.
Which, if you listen to some of our Mushroom FM things...
Such as the New Year's Eve podcast.
Yeah, you will find that I am the forgotten if I am on the episode because she'll forget to unmute me.
Yeah, unmute you. That happened New Year's Eve.
Yeah, sitting there just blathering away, answering questions and stuff, and nothing. Silence. Yeah,
it was embarrassing.
Well, actually, that was the New Year's Day broadcast.
No,
episode
you were muted
100.
New Year's Eve, too.
Oh, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get good help.
Except it was kind of blurry at that point, so we really didn't care that much. We were very laid back at that point.
Yeah. That's what we'll tell everybody.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Very laid back and mellowed out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we need to get started with this hullabaloo. Or we need to stop with the hullabaloo and get started with the actual podcast, whichever way you look at it.
Well, I will mention one thing really quickly here. Back in December, early December, I recorded an episode of End of Line put on by the folks over at Sarah Talk, which is sort of a sci-fi pop culture type podcast. You can find information on that at eolshow.com.
And if you want to know why everyone had to take off their shirts during the recording, just listen to the podcast.
Yes, it is the never-ending podcast.
It's a longie.
It's over 2 hours of content, and it kind of goes all over the place from old TV to bad TV to old toys and things, because they were hoping to put it out before
Christmas,
but it did not make it until just this past weekend. So tisk tisk, but definitely worth a listen all the way past the end credits. There's a little surprise at the end.
Past the end credits. Okay. Yeah.
So you have to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, find out why you must take your shirt off.
And there's also a visit to the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't want to miss that.
No. No, so that was pretty good. So that's eolshow.com, and you can follow them on Twitter at eolshow.com, at eolshow.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm. No.com.
No.com on Twitter.
Yeah, that's Ricky Inger and Joe Steinkamp. So anyway, seeing as how we hadn't done this crazy thing in quite a while, a lot of things have been going on. Most likely you've heard that Verizon was thinking about charging $2 for paperless billing.
Yeah, they just quickly decided not to do that.
Yeah, it was within 24 hours that they decided, according to Twitter and social media, this is not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all.
I don't quite understand why. Hey, that's the way things are going. All your credit card companies are going to start wanting to charge you for every little thing you do.
Yep.
There was a story also about a Walmart shopper that punched a 78-year-old grandma in the face that was playing the part of a greeter.
Ow.
You can find that article on the show notes.
Yeah, we won't go into that.
No, and another fun story is that library computers are allowed to block porn, but not Wicca.
Why would they want to block Wicca? There's no content in that that's morally offensive, unlike porn.
I don't know. Maybe it's putting people into the dark arts.
Oh, please. There's nothing dark about Wicca.
They spell magic wrong.
Oh,
they put a K on it.
So what?
There's a lot of card playing if you play the game. You know, I don't know.
No, Wicca, for those of you who don't know, is part of the pagan category of religions that's very female-centric, goddess-centric,
kinky.
Harmony with nature and all that kind of thing. And yes, using magic to help and heal and hopefully not hurt anyone.
So anyway, just thought I would throw those little quick hits out there just for fun and saying, yeah, there's stories out there. And also, we do have a lot of articles on the trials and tribulations of good and bad things from 2011.
If you're interested in top 10 articles and things, we've got a whole bunch of them on the website and show notes.
Yeah, we thought about doing a podcast and including things like that, and then we were like,
that bores me, so.
It's so cliche.
I don't really care.
And everybody under the sun is posting things because it's the, hey, I want to post something and get the heck out of here for holidays.
Right.
So you can head over to delicious.com/techaccess/122 to get those.
And there are like 70 links under there.
Yeah, but so there's a lot
about
of good info.
30 of them are top 10 related.
Yeah. So anyway, heading over into the security news, as we usually do start. Adobe released on, I believe it was yesterday.
Yes, yesterday.
January 10th, released a zero-day fix for Acrobat Reader and PDF support for their products.
Yeah, there was a security problem in December, and they had gotten a workaround for it.
Yeah, they came up with a workaround where you could enable advanced security that would protect you from this zero-day thing, where if you open a PDF file, you would actually be allowing someone to possibly take over your computer.
It would crash and everything.
This is still unknown as to whether it actually fixes that issue, but people are thinking that it is because it includes Adobe Acrobat and Reader along with a few other Adobe products related to, and everything seems to be related to PDFs.
Yeah.
So maybe you better head out and update. If you are looking for an accessible way to update, go over to ninite.com/accessibility.
Ooh.
I believe is the link for that.
Yeah.
Or you can just do the ninite.com. You can go through the list, check all the little applications that you want.
Got a lot of mess in there. They have so much more than when I did the Tech Access Daily Tip like donkeys years ago.
Oh, yeah.
When I did that, they only had like 10 things, and now they've got Flash and Oh my gosh, there must be 50 things in there.
So yeah, it's a great website. You download a little executable to your computer, run it. It does everything. It doesn't prompt you for any interaction. You can save that executable for next time and then run it, and it'll go out and it'll look for the most recent version.
That. Yeah, you can.
But yeah, it was kind of funny because somehow I had, I believe, checked the flash, and I ran it once, and it worked. And then on another install of some applications, I had accidentally put flash in that as well, and it said, oh, this program is already up to date. We're not updating it. So that was kind of cool that
it already went and did it.
Yeah, it would actually check out whether it was up to date or not. So very handy little screen and web page to go to.
Yeah.
Especially if you need to reinstall crap. Or you can't access the Flash updater.
Yeah, I need to do that because it's bugging me to update it again.
Yeah. And in another fun thing, there was a worm that was apparently stealing 45,000 Facebook login credentials and basically infecting all of their friends.
Yeah, it was called Ramnet. And apparently this was on corporate networks and things in Europe and migrated to Facebook. And what it would do is it would be in people's documents. Like if you posted documents to your Facebook page, yeah, Word documents or something, it infected them.
It would infect web pages and Microsoft Office documents that you might have on your computer or in your stored cache.
Right. So it would get in there and then it would be, it would migrate to your friends' pages if you visited your friends' pages.
Yeah. So,
so I think it's still out there.
Yeah. I have not heard as to whether there is a fix for this, but it is something to keep in your back of your mind when you receive messages and things from friends that just do not seem to be
quite right.
Yeah, because I'm noticing there's a heck of a lot of Twitter spam recently too. Everything you send out gets you Twitter spam.
Oh my god, I sent out a tweet this morning with Monday with the word bargains in it. Don't ever do that.
Yeah, so don't tweet blind bargains whatsoever. No, just kidding. No, but you'll start getting like, hey, you want to find some great, wonderful deals on technology? Here you go.
What was the other thing? Oh, don't send out any iDevice-related tweets without expecting spam.
Although they've started getting clever because I sent something out saying something about a phone, and it was like, looking for a new phone? Head over to this website to find out the greatest new deals.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, geez.
Mobile phone.
Maybe yes, we'll mobile.
Mobile phones.
Mobile is Hyacinth would say. Anyway, moving into sort of less happy news, I guess you would say, Netflix and Warner Brothers have made a new agreement that will require movies to be held back from Netflix viewers for 56 freaking days.
Put this into perspective. This is 2 months.
Yes.
In other words, why don't they just say 2 months? Why do they have to say 56 days?
Well, 2 months would be 60.
Well, that would be 60 days. Still, 4 weeks.
And if it was January and February, or February and March, it would be, what, 59 days?
There's no real reason. I mean, we don't really know why it happened, but there is speculation that Warner Brothers threatened to withhold their entire library from Netflix unless they agreed to this. Warner Brothers is concerned about the profit from new releases, of course, as everyone is.
Yeah, and it was also pointed out that Redbox, who is a vending machine type vendor here in the U.S. that puts big boxes in grocery stores and places where you can actually purchase movies for rental, their agreement is still at 28 days. So it's kind of like, what is the purpose? Are they worried about DVD sales? I just think it's just the simple fact that people are staying in. They're not going out to purchase things anymore. They're not really into the movie stuff because movies are crap. They keep remaking TV shows. So anyway, in something from CES, the online gaming service is planning to release an app that will allow you to stream Windows to your iPad and Android devices.
So what I don't understand is, do you have to have Windows enabled on a PC someplace, or does it just get it from the cloud and stream it?
That's the part that I
don't get that.
see as being really clear cut.
They haven't released it yet, but it will come out, I guess, soon. And it will give you, what is it, initially a two gigabyte storage plan.
Yeah, it'll give you 2 gigabytes of storage.
And then you can upgrade for various prices.
Yeah.
The pundits say it looks real. It looks like Windows, and it has some of the same feel as it would have with a Windows phone.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be set up so that you can actually do gaming or what. It's one of those things that I guess we'll have to see.
The capabilities aren't really discussed that much, so I don't know.
Yeah, online, if you don't know, is a service that allows you to play games over the internet. You're actually playing games like Doom and actual visual games, but they're stored and played on their servers. You don't actually have to have anything other than a control. I think they might have a set-top box, too, that you can purchase, kind of like a PlayStation or something, but it's pretty inexpensive, I think.
Yeah. Tebow.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Do we really have to talk about this?
I really don't want to, because I can't stand the guy, because he's really not that great of a player.
He's really irritating.
If you don't know, Tim Tebow is the quarterback of the American football team, the Denver Broncos. And in the AFC wildcard game on Sunday, the Broncos defeated the Steelers in 14 seconds of overtime, which is quite amazing, and it blasted out 9,400 tweets.
Beating
Beyonce's baby bump and the World Cup final from earlier in the year, which was a measly 7,300 tweets.
Oh my goodness.
I think Beyonce was like 8,600 or something.
8,600, I think it was. Yeah, because we talked about that earlier.
But yeah, this is the highest score for a sports tweet.
94,000.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because I was listening to sports radio today and they were talking about the recent BCS football game that was between the LSU Tigers and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And they were saying that it was the worst ratings for anybody, for any championship game in recent memory as far as television. And when you think about it, people have given up their cable subscriptions. It wasn't televised on the internet, and it actually went to paid TV. It was on ESPN. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting that things are going more social and internet worthy. And
why do I care about stop start?
I don't know.
I don't.
And apparently not that many people did, because the ratings sucked. If you listen to the commentary that I was just giving there, that more people were concerned with pro football and tweeting than watching college football. And
I don't care about either stop start. They're all the same to me.
Yeah. Stop start is what foreign folk call our professional football.
Makes sense to me.
Hey, it's no different than what the Europeans call football.
I think actually European soccer is worse.
Soccer is no more than,
sometimes people don't even win.
Let me tap the ball back and forth and we'll play hot potato for a little while and maybe somebody will put it in the big fishnet.
And if you don't win, then it's a draw and the game can still be over with.
Yeah.
And you get points. And I don't know.
It's like 90 minutes of pass the hot potato.
Yeah, but still, I mean, American football, I mean, the players are crippled by the time they're 40.
Yeah, that is the disadvantage. That's really, lifespan of players, I believe, is about 3 years.
I don't understand why people want to bust each other up. What is the motivation and thrill in that?
I don't know, but you have to be a sick bastard to want to play that. But anyway, in just quick passing, CES, the Computer Electronics Show, is going on. Consumer Electronics Show is going on in Las Vegas. And they're covering all sorts of things on all of the technology blogs. Just some basic info. Sounds like there's a lot of focus on OLED televisions. LG and Samsung are coming out with 55-inch televisions that can do 3D as well as 4K projection, very crisp and vivid.
They want to reduce the price because now they're estimated going to start out at $7,000.
Yeah, these are kind of in the line of plasmas when they first came out.
Right, exactly.
So that's kind of the big story, along with the fact that 3D is not really in the forefront of things. Another big topic is the Ultrabooks, which is supposed to be sort of like the MacBook Air, seeing as how that's
but
really...
But PCs.
Yeah, but there are PCs. Lenovo is coming out with a ThinkPad X1, which is kind of interesting.
That's kind of interesting because it's like a regular computer, but if you don't want to use Windows and all you want to do is browse the internet and read email and do, you know, things like that, you can migrate to another chip, put Windows to sleep, and run on a Qualcomm chip, a version of Android.
I think it's Linux. It might be Linux.
But no, it's Android.
Oh, is it Android?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's on this little bitty chip, and you run it just as if you were running. It's like a power of a cell phone.
Yeah. So you pretty much just flip the screen back and make it a tablet, and it puts Windows into a coma, and then you can flip it back, and Windows will come right back where you are. So that's kind of interesting. Dell today, matter of fact, released the XPS 13-inch. It's a 13-inch LCD, 128 gigs of SSD hard drive space, 2.66 pounds, and it's only 0.71 inches at its thickest point.
Oh.
And it has an aluminum and carbon fiber chassis.
Oh.
And it's going to be about $1,000. So you could either get that or a MacBook Air.
Oh, well.
But you'll get a little bit more screen real estate with the 13-inch Dell.
Yeah.
And there's other vendors coming out with similar things. Acer has a few products. So we'll be trying to look at a lot of the information and products that are coming out. But it seems like televisions.
Computers. And Sony Walkman.
Yeah. Sony Walkman?
Yeah.
I thought they killed that.
No, it's coming out. It's revitalized and new. The Sony Walkman Z, or Z, depending on your country of origin.
Yeah, we're the only freaks that say Z.
I know,
Z.
We're freaks. I fully admit that. Now, in any event, Sony is coming out with this new Walkman thingy, and it is about the size of a Samsung smartphone?
Yeah, it's like an iPod.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like an iPod Touch.
And it runs a version of Android. What is it with Android?
You either have to be iOS or Android.
That's true.
If you have Droid in your name, you're a heck of a lot more appealing to the masses.
I can agree to that. And it has, it's basically like an iPod. There are several different models.
Yeah, there's a 8, 16, and 32 gigabyte models. It varies from prices of just over $200 American to about $330 for the 32 gig model. CNET did a review on it. You can watch the video. They were saying that it's a very good device. The screen is pretty nice, but it's a little bit dim. The brightness isn't that great, and it might be slightly sluggish.
But they did say the sound quality was excellent.
Yeah, they said the sound quality beat anything that you could get on the market. Accessibility-wise, unknown.
Unknown.
But it is running Android, and maybe you could use something like Spiel or something on that.
Maybe.
Not sure. But if anybody tries that, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. I mean, it depends on whether it has the ability to access the Android marketplace.
I believe it does.
So
I believe it is able to actually access the marketplace.
Yeah, and what version of Android it's running.
Yeah, and whether you can access all apps in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. In a quick thing, Apple, since we have not mentioned them much whatsoever, Apple has given a new version of iOS 5 to developers. The 5.1 beta is now out and probably coming pretty soon. Estimates are possibly late January, early February. It is going to add a 3G toggle for iPhone 4S users. I guess it was removed, but I checked on the iPhone 4 and that was still there, where you can say, okay, I don't want to use 3G, just use Edge, and it's still there on the AT&T version of iPhone 4. It's also rumored that it is going to have an autocorrect menu enhancement so that you can choose things.
Mm-hmm.
I hate autocorrect.
I hate it.
Oh, it's difficult. And at work, we have to use acronyms for technology and things, and it's always wanting to correct it.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And there will possibly be a panoramic photo enhancements so that you can take multiple pictures and stitch them all together. Later in January, it is rumored that Apple may possibly have two iPads, sort of the old iPad 2 as one version and a better HD enhanced screen version. It may also be a 7-inch tablet and a 10-inch tablet. Who knows? It's Apple. It's a rumor. Apple has also applied for a facial recognition patent, whatever that means.
Yeah,
maybe
they're
going to want to unlock your screen with your face or something like that crazy stuff.
Ugh.
And also, Apple has a January event planned towards the end of the month, where it is estimated that in New York they will be talking about publishing rights for students and textbooks. It's supposed to be more of an education event instead of actual hardware products.
You know what we've been forgetting?
You've forgotten the... Ding! 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 Okay,
that catches us up now.
And now, speaking of applications for the iPhone, Nuance Technologies has purchased Flingo.
Flingo is a speech recognition company. They do similar things to Nuance. They have apps for both the Android and iPhone, and it's a similar app to Siri, but definitely not as thorough.
I think it does a lot more web searches.
Yeah, it does. And initially, when Apple was building Siri, they were going to use Flingo's technology rather than Nuance's, but they changed their minds, and now it really doesn't much matter because the companies are merging. I want Flingo back for the iPhone, though. They took the app off the out of the App Store.
They took Flingo out?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know this.
Mm-hmm. A long time ago. Well, actually, when the iPhone 4S came out.
I didn't think they took Flingo out. I thought it was the Siri, because there was a Siri assistant. I think that's what they took out. I don't think they took Flingo out.
Yes, they took Flingo out. Go search for it. Oh, no, wait. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, because there was a Siri
assistant.
Oh, that's
right. They took the Siri out. Flingo's still there. I don't think it's very good, but it's still around.
Yes, there is a daily tip on Flingo, I believe. Yes. It does some of the decent little functions better than the voice commands that the iPhone 4 will do.
That's definitely true.
You know,
that's definitely true. But they took Siri out, but they have not updated Flingo in a very long time.
Yeah.
So I hope they come out with an update soon.
Yep. Now, speaking of Nuance, here's some very exciting news. They are actually developing Dragon TV.
This is going to be, I'm not sure if they're going to build an actual TV or if it's just going to be a little enhancement box thing that you can attach to your TV.
It's going to, Dragon TV appears like it is going to be software that people and companies like Scientific America and Comcast and Time Warner Cable and things can put in their TVs and TV boxes, you know, the set-top box that nobody can access, might also be used for people like LG, Samsung, these folks that are making these TVs. They want you to be able to interact either with your hand. That's one of the big things at CES is people having it set so you can wave to the TV to do things. You know, so this Nuance Dragon TV may allow you to actually speak to the television.
TV. It's going to implement Nuance's FarTalk technology so you can train the TV to recognize your voice. And then you can apparently ask it questions about upcoming shows, try and find content that you would want to watch, and interact with Twitter and Facebook, sort of like a Get Glue, but with your TV.
Yeah, and be able to look for the shows you're looking for so
right.
You'd be able to access the guide. I can't remember whether it was LG or Samsung. Just before this, I was watching the Home Theater Geeks from CES, and they were at one of the booths that was having a Google interface, and they were saying that there's a technology that they're putting in that will actually have a microphone on the TV remote, so you just press a button and you ask it to do something.
Nice.
So not interacted with Google, but with their other interface that they're developing that should be out later in the year. So that's something to look at. So maybe we'll actually get accessible televisions and set-top boxes. What was the one in Europe? Ocean Blue?
Ocean Blue, yeah.
That's the one that everyone was raving about last year. Well, maybe Nuance is going to do that. And to toss it out there, there's been thoughts of the iTV from Apple. Maybe this will be part of it.
Possibly.
Because they're talking about maybe having Siri so that you can interact with it.
Yes.
Coming up in March, something that I've been dealing with at work, new upcoming ADA rules will go into effect for ATMs.
And banks will be expected to comply with them. I don't have an article, you know, any information on what kind of compliance schedule is going to be set up, but essentially what the ATM companies and the banks are going to be working together to do is to create Braille instructions for the ATM. Of course, the Braille keypads, changes to the font, and also speech output as well to make their ATMs accessible.
Yeah, I can tell you from my bank that we have, I don't believe we've done anything on the font thing. They've been more focused on trying to get the speech and stuff working, which is amazing. I mean, granted, you're probably sitting there going, why are banks so far behind? Why are some just barely implementing things now? Well, it's expensive to replace
ATMs.
It's very expensive. We have ATMs that have probably been in the field since the mid-90s. And to replace them, that's like $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to replace that. Plus, if you have to do construction work for that.
Because it's like a vault.
Oh, it is a vault. I mean, the steel inside of an ATM where it actually houses the money is, I think we just got one in the lab that is probably about 18 inches thick. I mean, it's like a little tank. So it's kind of amusing when you hear of people stealing the ATMs because usually they can't get the stupid things open.
Yeah.
You know, but ATMs are being upgraded. The difference is that new ATMs have to be upgraded to be ADA compliant, but old existing ATMs in the field do not have to be. So if you have to replace an ATM, you have to actually change it out for one that can do ADA compliance.
Right.
Also, ATMs at banks are being upgraded at this time, too, to do image deposits.
So in other words, you can wave your check at an ATM, essentially, and it'll take a picture of it and deposit it into your account.
Yeah, it's got a little feeder, just like you do, just like how you get money. You actually feed your check into it. Some banks actually keep the checks. Some actually just image it and spit it back out to you. I think we've gotten three now. I think we now have three in the field that will actually do that. And from what I've seen, there's lots of little problems with that on the technical side of things. It jams, it gets stuck, money doesn't get routed where it's supposed to. It's just kind of an amusing thing.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully that'll get ironed out soon. And hopefully they'll be taking more of an interest in the font.
Yeah, but that should take effect on March 12th of 2012.
Yes, indeed.
So start looking for an ATM near you. Sprint is going to follow the suit of AT&T.
They are going to offer mobile accessibility suite of products by Code Factory free on certain Android purchases for smartphones.
Yes, and that's new and existing customers that can qualify for that.
Yes. We have an article that details what exactly all the qualifications are. They're only offering it for certain plans, I think. It's not every plan they're offering it for. But it is a $90 value offered for free. So if you can take advantage of it, I would encourage you to do that. You can buy, of course, the mobile accessibility suite of products in the Android marketplace for $90. And of course, if you don't know, what it allows you to do is perform all of the functions on an Android-enabled smartphone running, what is it, 2.3 or later?
I believe it might be 2.1.
2.1 or later.
I think it's 2.1. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Anyway, without having to use unreliable open-sourced screen reading solutions like Spiel, which don't give you access to everything.
Yeah, but so I believe mobile accessibility also limits your access to some things, but
some,
it helps out a little bit
But it helps
more.
A lot.
Yeah, so it assists with touch text input and gives you voice synthesis back. Some of the features that are actually in this are accessible browser, SMS, contacts, alarms, and GPS. So that's a good thing. It is noted that it is the Sprint Mobile Accessibility EN and ES versions in the App Store.
English and Spanish.
Yeah, English and Spanish. And it is also for Boost Mobile Accessibility as well. So if you are a Boost Mobile customer, you will also be able to qualify for the Sprint Android Accessibility.
Yay.
From Code Factory. And if you are looking for a new phone and you are just dying to have one with a keyboard.
Yes, the new
Droid 4 is coming out soon.
Big and, keyboard.
Yeah, this was announced at CES. It is going to be a little bit over 4-inch display. It's going to have the QWERTY keyboard. It will be equipped with 4G LTE connectivity on Verizon. Have a 1.2 dual core processor, 16 gigs of memory, micro SD slot, and the kicker, it will actually have laptop docks, kind of like the Atrix that came out last year at CES. It's going to have a dock for a 10-inch and a 13-inch display.
Interesting.
So you can get that, plug it into the back of it, and you have a perfectly functioning little computer at your side.
Fabulous.
Isn't it, though?
Okay, what's next?
Oh, I'm supposed to continue?
Yes.
Okay, National Federation for the Blind has filed a complaint against Baltimore City.
Well, against the Baltimore School District.
Yes.
The school district has decided that it is going to improve access to certain books in the Baltimore middle schools. They want to improve their libraries. So it's come up with an agreement with a certain scholastic book publisher, and they are going to give them access to all kinds of books. But the only problem is they're not in hard copy. They're on the Nook.
The Nook?
The Nook from Barnes & Noble. They still make those?
Yes.
Well, anyway.
They're the top probably next to the Kindle. Amazon Kindle.
Kindle
Fire that is inaccessible as well.
In any event, the Nook is inaccessible. So the National Federation for the Blind is quite understandably upset by this because this would leave blind students with virtually no way to access the majority of the library. So they have filed a complaint. No word on the, you know, where it's going. It was just filed on January 4th, Louis Braille's birthday, incidentally. And so we'll just have to see. They're in talks with the school district now, but as of yet, the school district has no plans to alter its, well, plans.
Well, I think there's been court cases in Arizona and other places that sort of forced them to have to do that.
Sure. However, well, maybe. There's more. It's interesting here because this is a slightly different issue. This isn't necessarily that kids don't have access to books in the classroom. It's books in the library.
Yeah.
So that may be a bit different, or they may be trying to argue that it's different, because these aren't books that they necessarily need for their education. They just need them for research.
Mm. Okay.
I'm not saying that they're right. I'm saying that this is probably how they're trying to spin it.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of. Well, it's not something it's that they supplement. Have to have.
Exactly. It's a supplement.
Yeah.
So, and again, I'm not saying they're right, and I would be unhappy with this too if I were in a school district with this. But that's probably how they're gonna spin it. Oh, if you know, just you know, have them read to you. It's not your regular everyday textbook. So,
yeah, that works. Mm-hmm. There's other services out there to give you tapes and digital formats. Just sure. Go with that. Now, the NFB is also having a blind scholarship program.
Yes, they do this every year. They give away 30 scholarships, I think between the values of $3,000 and $12,000 to full-time college students.
Sweet.
Who are full-time, as I said, full-time college students. One student can be partially employed, like employed employed and going to school at the same time. But all the rest have to be full-time students. And there are several quite interesting requirements in order to qualify. Of course, you have to be a very successful student. There's a quite lengthy interview process, and you must attend the current year's National Federation for the Blind convention. You can have financial assistance to do so if you qualify. You must attend the convention, and in order to receive it when the semester starts in August or September, you need to attend all of the convention's events related to the scholarship and certain other seminars.
Oh.
Yeah.
But you don't have to read it on a Nook.
No.
Okay.
No, you do not. So that, I guess, is a plus.
Jeez. Sounds like getting a scholarship these days is a little bit difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. They may have had... Oh, and of course, you always have to also have to be legally blind in both eyes.
Oh. Hey, that's discriminating.
And so... So that's what's going on with that. I don't know how long the convention requirements have been in effect, how many years that's been going on. That's a little bit, that's very stringent.
So if you're looking
let's go get indoctrinated, everyone.
Yeah, if you're looking for a scholarship, head on over there. We will put a link in the show notes and the posting for this article, for this podcast.
Woohoo!
Speaking of registrations being taken for
the
Cisco Academy for the Visually Impaired.
Which I don't actually know that much about, but they offer courses on technology and computers, including a new course on Linux administration. They are taking registrations for their courses that begin in February, and they are offering scholarships for people who can pay some of the money, but not all of the money for their courses. And I think the courses run about $500 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I don't know that much about the Cisco Academy, so can't speak to more of their requirements and what they do. But we have a link in the show notes
to the Blind Bargains
blog article that talks about it.
Mm-hmm. And if you post that, you might actually get something saying, do you need a Cisco router?
Oh, gosh, that's true.
Anyway.
I don't know that they're affiliated with Cisco, but...
That's spelled the same.
Yeah, true.
Or do you need some Crisco? No, that's not spelled the same. Speaking of Atia!
Did we say Atia? Oh, you just did.
I did.
The Assistive Technology Industry Association, ATIA, Asia, or Atia, depending on your language of region of choice.
Whether you are cultured northern or redneck like moi.
Yeah, that conference is going to be taking place in Orlando in January between the 25th and the 28th. And they're going to have a few new things this year, one of which is an actual app place, an app exhibitors area, where developers of accessible apps can exhibit.
Oh,
they didn't really have that last year.
Oh, okay.
So makers of apps for smartphones and things can come and exhibit their, well, new apps.
So I guess it'll be kind of like at CES, they have the iLounge, which is like for... mobile devices and
apps. Yeah, it's kind of a similar thing.
Yeah.
And so, of course, if you want to register, I think it's atia.org. You can go there and register for it. And we've got a blog post from the DAISY Consortium blog that talks in more detail about how to do that. And also in our show notes, we've got a list of web accessibility conferences from the WebAx website. That you can find if you're interested in conferences related to web accessibility.
Yeah, it's quite a long
list. It's quite a long list, so I'm not going to go into it here.
But that is courtesy of WebAx at .blogspot.com. That's W-E-B-A-X-E.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for a good blog to check out for web accessibility.
Yes.
Speaking of apps, one has won a prize.
Yes, Access Together. It currently is not on smartphones as an actual app yet, but it is in the mobile stage. So it's a mobile website. You can access it on your smartphone of choice. And it is a way in which people can, it's sort of like Foursquare, but with accessibility in mind. In other words, you can check into various places and rate them according to accessibility.
Oh.
So that's what this does. And it currently is not very... it doesn't have a very national audience yet or even worldwide audience. It mostly focuses on places in New York City because I think that's where it was developed. But the you can go onto the website and add information to the database about places that you visited so that it knows that that's a popular destination. I don't think there are limitations on country, so I think it's anywhere in the world that you can do this. And again, that link to talk more about it is in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like Foursquare, the biggest complaint I have mm-hmm. about Foursquare is people add businesses
mm-hmm.
constantly, like 4 or 5 different businesses that are exactly the same, but they have different information. One will have the address, one will not have the address, one will have a phone number.
Yeah,
one
people
won't.
Don't police Foursquare very well to make sure that one business has all the information, the other ones delete them. They're duplicates.
Yeah, it's kind of like where I work at. There's two. There's one that just says, the data center.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that's like the actual bank name, data center, address, phone number, that kind
where
of thing.
Where I work, there's two as well because there's where I work, there's two as well because I created one and then you created one.
Yeah.
And I told Foursquare that mine was a duplicate and to delete it, but it never got deleted.
Yeah. So an app like this seems like it would be very good, but I mean, it's kind of like when you even go to something like Apple Viz or the Android site, you know, it depends on how detailed the actual person is that put the post originally.
Right.
You know, so it's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be great if they could integrate maybe Google Maps or something so that it just automatically pulls in businesses and places, you know, sort of gives you a default database to go from.
Yeah, that would be good.
What were you thinking?
And now for everyone's favorite segment.
Some dude here in North Carolina, actually, in Lexington, went into a Walmart and decided that he wanted to buy $476 worth of electronics, including a microwave and a vacuum cleaner.
Shoo, doggy!
Which is fine. That's like a normal thing. But then he decides he wants to pay for it with a $1 million bill. For those of you who are not U.S. citizens, there is no such thing as a $1 million bill. It is not legal tender here in this country.
Well, where did he get one?
You can get $1 million bills as novelty items. They do sell them.
Oh.
At what was it? MyMillionDollarBill.com. MillionDollarBill.com. Million Dollar Source. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of them in the CNET article, and they talk about them. How, you know, they're sold as novelty items. So maybe that's where he got it. He doesn't say where he got it. He was charged, of course, with, trying to submit legal tender and a whole bunch of other stuff.
And he just thought that he would get, $999,000 and change back.
Yeah. Apparently so. Apparently he was not, the mentality, we don't know whether he was doing it as a joke
or
whether he really thought he was going to get it back.
I think we can honestly say that his elevator did not go up and that his cheese has fully slid off of his cracker.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
pretty much.
Well, maybe his motive, I just thought of this, maybe his motive was that he wanted to go to Lexington Barbecue and purchase 999,000 plates of barbecue.
I doubt it.
No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Pretty good barbecue, though.
Mm.
I wouldn't blame him for wanting the barbecue.
Mm.
Mm. Anyway, in another story, since it's give you two options here, in Dallas, Texas, a man was in the process of robbing a beauty store. He asked the clerk to give him all of the cash in the register. He also said that he wanted the change as well, because usually robbers don't go after the change. They just want the dollars, you know.
Right.
But he's got kids and he needed money for school.
Okay.
And before he got ready to leave, he asked the clerk, what in this store is the most valuable as far as hair extensions?
Mm-hmm.
Because he needed to get something that he knew that he could sell once he got out of the store, because he had a very demanding girlfriend.
My God.
And the clerk said that she was struggling the entire time not to laugh in his face because he was asking her for advice on what to steal.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't told anybody about 1995.
That's true. Well, this is kind of a what were you thinking?
Trying to, yeah.
This is sort of a what were you thinking or how is
very
it possible?
Very strange thing. It's not really what were you thinking. It's just strange.
How do you keep up with something for that long?
You put things in it you need. If it's a box.
I know, but it proves that it doesn't degrade.
I know. That's what's scary, because it's a regular cardboard box. Pretty sturdy. And I keep my software, computer software, and manuals in it. All the CDs, DVDs, and some of the paper manuals in there. I have been using it since 1998, when I first got my first Windows 95 machine. That's what Rodney brought all the software and stuff in, and I think, scary enough, I still have some of that original software.
I still do.
I even have floppy disks in there. I'm not sure what's on them.
Well, I've actually still got Windows 3.1 on floppy disk, I believe.
Maybe that's what's in there. Anyway, not to get too far off track, but that I've had that since 1998, but putting all my stuff in there, still use it. It hasn't torn. It's not worn down. It's not fallen apart. Come to find out, and this just came up today because I pulled it out, got something out,
said,
and I just
you
said,
"You know, I've had this box for so long."
And you had to pipe up with.
I actually got that in 1995 when I purchased my Pentium 75 computer. It was the box that was inside holding a Creative Labs Sound Blaster back in 1995. That was probably about a $300 or $400 sound card. I believe it came with the game Doom, so that you could play that, you know. But yeah, it was the box that came with that. And when you got the computer, it came to me.
Right, and you just threw the stuff in there.
And I was looking for a box to put it in, because number one thing, if you're ever giving anybody a computer or you know that they're getting a computer, you tell them to get a shoebox or something so that they can put the documentation for the computer in it and put it in the closet.
Right.
Because I've got an aunt that she can't find anything for her computer. It's strewn all over the place. It probably was either put down the garbage disposal or lost.
The cat ate it.
You know, but I mean, I've given my folks a box and I said, here, put everything that's in that in this box and there. You know, so I mean, they've never lost anything as far as software. So just one of those crazy things that we've had
the
this
lineage
box
of a box
for this long. And it still works. It's not flimsy. It hasn't degraded any. It's still got the flaps and everything.
Yep. The flaps just push right in like they're supposed to. And that's it.
So this non-biodegrading mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly episode
122.
You can check out the massive list of show notes.
Yes.
Got to go with the show notes first.
We've
really not done this in a while, have we?
Yeah, we haven't.
You can check out the massive list of show notes so that you can get your fill of good and bad goodies from 2011.
Delicious.com/TechAccess/122.
If you would like to check out the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM from 7 to 10 p.m. on Sunday, you can do so by visiting mushroomfm.com/meltingpot. Yes.
And
also, we've had a couple of people asking questions about whether or not you have a feed of Melting Pot shows.
Yes, it's mushroomfm.com/meltingpot, and the feed for each show is there. There are only one or two shows up at a time, however.
Because of space requirements
on the Mushroom FM servers. Because there's not just me, there's all the other people. So if you want past shows, you need to visit the archive for the Melting Pot, which contains all Melting Pot shows. And you can get to it by going to techaccessweekly.com. However, if you just want the past show, I would strongly encourage you to go to the Melting Pot website to get it.
Yeah, if you're a diligent
downloader. We are not as diligent on the archive as we usually should be. So
we're trying to get them out at least in the same week.
Yeah.
But occasionally we do get behind and maybe have four or five because we just don't get to it because it does take a little bit of time. But yeah, you can get that and you can actually find posts on techaccessweekly.com for all of the prior episodes all the way back to number one.
And with all that said, this is Aaron.
And Rodney. And you can follow me on Twitter at Rodney Edgar.
And I'm Aaron Edgar.
And I guess this is where we simply say bye-bye.
Bye.